Well, good morning. I want to welcome you to Central this morning, where we seek transformation through the renewing work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that's what you experience this morning as we worship Him and study His Word, transformation by His power. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We're going to be studying verses 46 through 56 this morning. Advent and Christmas are my favorite seasons of the year, in part because of the music. It's beautiful, the music of longing, the music of beauty, the music of love. In fact, I'm one of those sappy people who I've already begun to listen to Christmas carols on the radio. I already have my playlist on my Apple Music with John Rutter, just nonstop every time I'm in the car. I love Christmas. In fact, this Advent, we're going to look at the Bible's own Advent and Christmas songs. Each one of these songs leads us forward toward hope and who Jesus is and what He's come to do. We're going to look at Mary's song, we'll look at Zechariah's song, the angel's song, and we'll look at Simeon's song. And on Christmas Eve, we'll look at Revelation chapter 5 and the song of the Lamb. And all of these songs are songs in the key of hope. That's what we need, don't we? In our world right now, the ability to sing hope down more deeply into our hearts. That's the beautiful thing about music. The beautiful thing about singing is it takes words, it takes truth, and it drives them deeper into our soul. In those deeper parts of our hearts and our lives, the Spirit presses that truth as we sing. So this year we're going to learn to sing, have our hearts sing songs in the key of hope. This morning, it's Mary's song, the Magnificat. His song brings hope out of a place of surprise and a place of scandal. How so? You might remember how the story went. Mary was visiting her relative, Elizabeth, when she sang her song. Now, Elizabeth, as the Bible tells us, she was barren and advanced in years. She was too old to have children. And yet, surprise, she turned up pregnant. And her husband, Zechariah, was so shocked, essentially he said, "How in the world did this happen?" But the Lord had a plan. The Lord had a plan for their son, for John, who would be the prophet to announce the coming of the King, the Lord Jesus, the baby in the womb of Mary. So Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and after she had received a surprise visit herself from the angel Gabriel, the choir sang it this morning. Mary and Joseph, you might remember, were not yet married. And yet Gabriel announced that although she was a virgin, yes, she was truly a virgin. It was a miraculous work of God. We'll look at that in a couple of weeks. Although a virgin, she conceived a son in her womb by the Holy Spirit. And that child's name was to be Jesus, because the name means God saves. And this was not just a surprise. This was a scandal. Think about her life. An unmarried young woman, maybe 14 or 15 years old, and she turned up pregnant. What would people think? What would Joseph think? What would people in her village think? The talk of the town, the scandal, and yet Mary sings a song about blessing. Her world around her may have wanted to curse, may have made her an outcast, but Mary sang of blessing. What is it that made her sing like that in that moment? She saw that God revealed Himself to her as He really is. That's what moved her to sing, seeing God as He really is, and that's what will move you and me to sing as well. So get Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 46. Hear God's word. "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever.' And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home." Let's pray together. Father, we ask that You would send the Spirit and open our eyes to this beautiful song that Mary sang. Help us to see You. the kind of God that you are, and would you enable us to sing hope down more deeply into our hearts? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what is Christmas about? There's not any shortage of answers floating around the ether of our culture. There certainly are lots of commercial answers to that question. I remember when I was a kid, one of those Coke commercials. Remember the song that was in that Coke commercial? I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to what? Buy the world a Coke and keep it company. That's the real thing. That's how the song went. Remember the choirs of people gathering around, singing all these words, dancing together, as if giving people a sugary, acidic drink and singing about it would bring harmony to the whole world. I'm not quite sure that's the truth. Christmas is about harmony, but not around Coca-Cola. Or how about one of my favorite stories at Christmas, The Grinch? Remember how that one goes? Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch who lived just north of Whoville did not. Remember that story? Remember the song that the Whos sang? Faru Fores, Dahu Dores, Welcome Christmas, Come This Way. I have no idea what that means. I don't think anybody else does either. But maybe all these Whos who sang it out loud, maybe the message is at the end where they sing, Welcome Christmas, bring your cheer, cheers to Whos far and near. Christmas Day will always be just as long as we have we. Maybe that's it. That's the Who's answer to what Christmas is all about. It's about community. As if Dr. Seuss assumes that having a we could make the Grinch's heart grow three sizes larger in one day. But again, I'm not quite so sure that community by itself has the power to do that. If I look at my heart, and with all due respect, I look at your hearts, there's lots of selfishness and Grinch-ish hearts in here, right? Thus, singing about community, simply willing it to be, doesn't have the power to take me and forge us together into a we. It's not going to happen. So what's Christmas really about? What do we sing about at Christmas? Well, Mary sang about seeing God for who he really is. Well, what about him? Make us sing too. First, he's the kind of God who blesses sinners. God is the kind of God who blesses sinners. If you look carefully at the song that she sang in verses 48 and 49, there are ideas that are put together that don't fit together in any way other than the gospel. Mary sings that she is blessed, verse 48, by God. Her community around her would have called her cursed. They would have cast her out as a scandal, being unmarried and pregnant. Yet Mary sang she's blessed by God. It's the same word that appears on Jesus' lips in the Beatitudes. That those who have the blessing are what brings joy into life. Blessing, it's the same idea that Gabriel announced to her in verse 30, that she has favor with God. That's what blessing is, knowing favor before the God who, verse 49, does mighty things. It's amazing. Think about what Mary's singing. She was blessed to bear the Son of God in her womb. It's a unique blessing in the history of humanity. Never will it happen again. It happened once. And Mary's saying that although her community would look at her through scandal and through outcasts, she knew that she was blessed of God to bear the Son of God in her womb. And yet Mary admits something about herself. That in the way the world usually works, would separate her from blessing and favor. She admits she doesn't deserve it. She calls God her Savior in verse 47, her life giver, her rescuer. It's an admission that she needs saving. Beyond just the oppression of Rome, she needs saving from the guilt of sin, from the power of sin, from sin and evil and death itself. She doesn't deserve blessing because she's captive to sin. What's more, this God is holy, she says in verse 49. He's righteous and perfect and pure in every way. And those things don't go together. Blessing for sinners by a holy God, a pure God, those things don't fit together in any way other than the gospel. How can a sinner, a woman or a man who by definition needs sinning, needs saving. That's us in here. How can we be offered blessing and favor in the sight of a holy God? In other words, how does one who admits they're disqualified from favor actually receive favor from God? That's what Christmas is all about. That child in Mary's womb is the way. The child in Mary's womb is the only way for sinners like you and me and Mary who break God's law to rest in the favor of God. It's only through faith in the Lord Jesus, this Son of God who took on flesh, was born to the Virgin Mary, was born into this place of poverty and squalor, laid in a manger, who would later go on to give his life on the cross as a sacrifice for our sin. This child in her womb who would take our judgment and all of our condemnation that we deserve, pour it out upon him. It's only those who confess, I don't deserve God's favor, but it's through that child that I'm able to receive it. Those are the only ones who are able to live with the blessing and favor of God. Christ came to be cursed for you and me so that in him we could be blessed. It's an amazing truth that Mary sings about the Lord here. The Lord is the God who is holy, and yet he blesses sinners through Christ. Imagine if Mary were to have had a social media account. Maybe her account would say hashtag blessed. But not because of what fills up so many social media feeds today. I'm blessed because of the beautiful places and the abundance and the fancy cars and the beachside vacation pictures that we post on social media. I think if people looked at Mary's feed, maybe we would be tempted to say hashtag cursed. She's a young unwed mother, outcast in her society, in the poverty, in squalor. And yet Mary is blessed in a way that turns this upside down world right side up again with the Lord Jesus. Why? Because she talks about the only kind of blessing that can't be taken away. Her blessing is not circumstantial. It doesn't shift with fleeting successes. Blessing that comes from God doesn't depend upon being popular or feeling powerful. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. Being blessed with the favor of God is only for the weak and the needy and the grief-stricken, those who are sick and tired of their sin. Jesus' blessing rests on sinners who know that we are sinners and in need of grace. The only ones that the blessing, the profound blessing and life and favor of God rests upon. Do you know yourself to be that kind of person? Do you know yourself to be a sinner, still in need of God's grace? Even maybe you've sat in the pews of this church for 45 years. Do you know that you still need God's grace? Do you never graduate from needing God's grace? We never outgrow our need for God's grace. And as much as we never outgrow it, the ways we never completely get past all of our sin, God still is gracious to us. He still offers favor and blessing to sinners, and that's what will make our hearts sing. What make our hearts sing is when we know that the only way to receive favor from God is to announce to God and to the world, I don't deserve it, but he's given it to me in Christ. He gives favor to the unfavored. The only way to qualify for the favor of God is to freely admit, I don't qualify. And no matter how hard I work, no matter what I do, I will never qualify. And yet, that's exactly why Jesus came, to deliver the favor of God to those who are his enemies at the cost of his own life. Are you able to sing about that? Our God is a holy God who blesses sinners. But also he's the kind of God who exalts the humble and fills the hungry. Once again, this is a reversal of the song that the world sings. Our culture sings, I'll invite you in if you have something to offer me. But if you need something from me, maybe I'll send you away. Our world sings the song, if you have all the right resources, if you have the right pedigree, if you're filled up with the right stuff, then you have value in my eyes, you have value in the world. That's the culture song, right? But what if I don't have enough? What if I'm not enough? What if my life is a whole lot closer to Mary's than I would ever like to admit without pedigree to peddle? What if coming out of these couple of unsettling years in the pandemic, I don't feel very strong, I don't feel very stable, I don't feel blessed, I rather feel like I've lost a lot? Maybe you do too. Maybe you've lost friends. Maybe you've been rejected even within your own family, for people who don't see the world the way that you do, whether it's about masks or vaccines, or whether it's about politics or about race. Maybe you feel like you've lost some key relationships in your life, and you don't feel very steady right now. Maybe you feel like you're the outcast. Maybe you're rejected. Maybe you feel canceled. What if I feel like I'm in a ridiculously hard place in my life? I can't see my way through it. What if the truth is that my life is a whole lot more like Mary's than I would ever like to admit? That's one of the reasons Mary sings. To her, to the humbled Mary, God shows, he says in verse 51, strength with his arm. And what does he do to the proud? He scatters the proud. Mary calls herself the one of humble estate twice in verse 48, where she says he's looked on the humble estate of his servant. In verse 52, he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. What does that mean, to be a person of humble estate? Well, the word that Mary sings here is a word for those who are on the bottom. That's literally what it means, the bottomed. The people who are on the bottom of society, those whose lives have bottomed out, who are tired and pressed and have no way to lift themselves up. The Lord shows Mary, and she sings here, the Lord is the one who lifts up those whose lives have bottomed out. He's the kind of God who throws down the proud, he says. Those who see themselves on the top, those who have the world by the tail, I'm better than everybody else, those he casts down and he lifts up, he exalts those on the bottom of society, those in the bottom of the eyes of the world. That's the kind of God he is. He's the kind of God who satisfies the hungry, fills the hungry. And there are lots of ways to be hungry, aren't there? We can be hungry for food. We can also feel unsatisfied with what we have. And there's a hunger in our soul that just rumbles and rumbles, and we can't satisfy it. Sometimes all the stuff that we're clinging to in our lives, it feels like we're just grasping a fistful of sand, and it just sifts and falls between our fingers. And no matter how hard we grasp, our souls won't feel satisfied. There's a hunger that the Lord is able to fulfill. Why would Mary sing about this? How does this drive hope into your heart and into my heart? Well, it's because those of humble estate, those at the bottom, those who know that things won't satisfy, don't take refuge in their pedigree. God sends a radical grace. Because it's not our pedigree, it's not our place in society, it's not our reputations that will determine our worth. None of those things determine our future. Mary sings with hope because God is the one who determines our hope, our worth. God is the one who determines our future. It's all in his hands. In fact, in the eyes of the world, those who revel in greatness, those who feel superior and accomplished, the proud ones, the Lord casts down. Those who see the worth in their own eyes and not worth in the eyes of others, the Lord casts down. But those who are poor and humble are no worse. The rich and the comfortable are no better. Presidents and prostitutes need the same grace if any of us are to be saved. We can't take refuge in our pedigree of education level or social status or savings accounts or reputations. None of them are a refuge for needy people like us. None of those things will provide rest for your soul. Can you see yourself that way? Can you see yourself filled with hope before that kind of a holy God? He's the one who lifts us up and fills our hungry souls. Maybe it's difficult for you today. It can be difficult because, let's be honest, we, all of us in this room, are filled with so many comforts, so much ease in our lives. And it may be that we deceive ourselves into thinking that we provided all this. I'm able to provide all that I need. I work hard. I get paid well. I take care of the needs I have in my life. I'm able to provide everything I need. But it is that sense of self-exaltation that I'm able to take care of myself and I need no one. That's what God casts down. God enters our lives. God enters this world in a place of desperation, a place of poverty. God enters this world in our lives in places where we have needs that we can't satisfy. He enters our crises. Have you ever felt or known God to enter your life at a place of crisis that you can't fix? And you wonder, what's going to happen? That's where the Lord enters in. He enters our crises to lift us up by his power, by his provision, by his grace. He lifts up those who are willing to number themselves with those at the bottom. Do you know you need him today? That's what Mary sings about. That's what you and I sing about. After her song, Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem for a census. You know the story, the census that was all about taxation. That's what census was for in Caesar's day. It was about taxation, finding where all the property is and how might I confiscate it for my own kingdom. Caesar's census was all about confiscating wealth. Mary and Joseph, pregnant and poor, went to Bethlehem, to the city of Joseph's family, to find out if what little they had would even more be confiscated by Rome. The town was packed. All the guest rooms and all the relatives' homes were already taken, and the only space left available was at a relative's house where the animals were kept. Most often it was like a little hewn out spot in the side of a hill or in the ground. It was a dark spot, a dirty spot, more like a cave than anything else, with a dirt floor and a trough that would be hewn out in the ground to put feed for the animals. It was a place of poverty. It was a place of squalor. It was a place of desperation for Joseph and for Mary. They were at the end of their rope. And it was there, at the end of their rope, in that dark, dank cave, among the filth of animals, to a desperate teen, the Son of God was born. Isn't that amazing? Who would come up with a plan like that? A God who is intending to enter into your crisis, that's who. A God who's willing to enter into your place of pain, your place of desperation. He comes to those of humble estate to lift us up to his eternal blessing. He comes into your now. Wherever you feel needy, wherever you feel lost, Jesus is willing to come by the power of his Spirit right now into your life because he came to us. He came like us, that we might not only call him Savior, but that we might call him brother. We might be brought into his family. So where are you weary and low today? Are you sick? Is your life falling apart? Is your work causing you stress and struggle? Maybe your problem's on the other side. Maybe you have so much that you're worried to death about how to keep it all. The things that you possess truly have begun to possess you. There's a weariness that can come in wealth, isn't there? When we think it's going to satisfy our souls. Whether too much or not enough, our souls will not be satisfied through it. So rather than grasping for all that we have, our intellect, our wealth, our power, our influence, let's trust in Jesus as the source of true life. Jesus, the one who entered into this broken and busted up world, and he enters into your broken and busted up life to be crucified for you. The one who can only say to the Lord and to the world, I don't deserve it. But through Christ, I'm drawn to the Lord of all. It's those truths that the Lord blesses sinners, that the Lord exalts the humble and fills the hungry, that will free you and me to sing, Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor. all for love's sake, became poor, stooping so low, but sinners raising? Heaven, by thine eternal plan, thou who art God beyond all praising, all for love's sake, became a man. Those are the truths that will make you sing. Let me close with this. Dallas Willard was famous for asking a question. The question was, do you know what God's address is? Where does God live? Dallas Willard's answer was, God's address is at the end of your rope. That's where God dwells. Mary and Joseph at the end of their rope, you and me at the end of our rope, that's where God enters into our lives. That's what we sing about at Christmas. We don't have what it takes to thrive. I can't conquer my sins. I can't put them all behind me. I can't throw down that silly thing that I think will give me life. I can't, but Jesus can. That's what we sing. The Lamb of God who takes away our sin, who took on flesh for us that he might draw us closer to his heart forever, that Lord who was willing to come and be crucified for us, exalted in heaven, reigns. And we sing to that one who makes sinners his own. Beloved children in the family of God. That's what Christmas is about. And that's why we sing. Let's pray. Lord, there are men and women and children in this room who are at the end of their rope. Some of us know it. Some of us have circumstances in the coming weeks ahead that will make us see it more clearly than we can now. But everyone here is of deep need of your salvation, of your mercy, of your grace. And so, Lord, now we confess that we don't deserve it. We confess, Lord, that we are sinners in need of your grace. And when we confess that and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. The humble lifted high, the hungry filled with the presence of God. So, Lord, would you do that kind of work here? Help us to see ourselves aright, to see ourselves clearly, and help us have a story to sing in this world. They might know a God who blesses sinners, who exalts the humble and fills the hungry. You're a God who keeps his promises, and that makes us sing. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.